Well, we need the Lord's blessing and help this morning, His visitation. Ask for your prayers. I'd like to consider this morning what it means to seek God's will. Do we feel like that's an important thing to do? Why? How do we do it? Let's begin this morning in the book of Jeremiah. 10th chapter of Jeremiah and the 23rd verse is where we'll begin. So look at this chapter though. Jeremiah begins with acknowledging how real God is and how superior He is to the gods and idols of men's hands. He recognizes that there's been judgment of the Lord that has gone forth against His people because they've turned away from Him. Then in verse 23 he said, Lord, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. You know that the geese seem to know exactly where to go. The monarch butterflies and the hummingbirds and other creatures seem to know the right time to go and where to go. Honeybees amaze me with how they know just where to go and how to get back to the colony and how to direct the others of where to go. You know, it's because God put it within them. But God has not put within us the ability to be independent. The ability to be able to map out my own way in life and get it right. Man left to himself has always come to ruin and taken the wrong turn just about every time. There's a song that we sing, God's Way is Best, and it says, had I the choosing of my pathway and blindness, I would go astray. I wouldn't reach that home that He's prepared for me, that land of endless day. I don't believe that any one of us are an exception to that rule. No matter how confident we might feel about the path that we're on, it is not within us to be able to direct our own path. And the sooner we can recognize that, the better off we'll be in life. That we don't have to go through life repeating the same failures that so many people before us have repeated. God man made man upright, Scripture says, but man sought out many inventions. God set man on the right path. But man sought out so many other ways to deviate and turn and stray from the true way that God set them on. God gave Adam and Eve so many options. Everything that they needed in the garden. But they found that one way that God said don't go therein. And it seemed so reasonable and so plausible and so attractive in the moment. But my, look at what it brought. We need the Lord's guidance in our lives, each and every one of us, from the young to the old. I need to know and to follow God's way. I'd like to turn to a story that we read in Joshua, the 9th chapter. Whenever the Lord brought Israel up to the Canaan land, the land that He had promised to them, He gave them very clear instructions of what they were to do. I want you to go into this land. It's the land that I've promised to you, and I want you to go in and possess it. I don't want you to make any leagues or agreements with any of the nations. We're not here to engage in diplomacy. I've given you the land, but you're going to have to be willing to go in and take it. Well, the children of Israel went across Jordan, and the first city they encountered, Jericho, the Lord gave some instructions that seemed pretty strange on how they were to conquer that city. And they wouldn't have conquered it by any other means but to follow exactly what God said to do. To go around that city the exact number of times that God said to go around it. And the Lord's the one that brought the walls of the city down. What an elation that must have been. I'm sure I've always figured there were some sneers coming from the top of that wall. What do you pathetic people think you're doing? But I don't believe there was any sneering and jeering going on whenever the walls began to crumble. God's the one that delivered that city into their hand and gave them a remarkable victory. Something that they would, well, should have never forgotten. But you know the very next city they went to, you remember what they said? You know what? We don't even need to send everybody up to this city. We're able to take this one. It seemed like they were feeling pretty confident after the victory that they had just won. You know, Scripture tells us for a reason, take heed, he that thinks he stands, lest he fall. Folks, we are dependent upon the Lord, utterly dependent upon the Lord, each and every day. It doesn't matter if the Lord has given a great victory yesterday. You know, I found sometimes those days following are the days that I need to be most on my guard. I can't rest in successes that I've gained. Lord, I need you today. I need your grace and help to give me a victory in this one as well. That city looked like it was manageable. It was nothing compared to what Jericho was. Well, there was another detail they had overlooked, and most of them weren't aware of, a man who had partaken of sin. God's blessing was not able to be upon those few warriors that went up against Ai. But I want to fast forward beyond those two cities now and look as they fell to their face in repentance and they dealt with the issue that prevented God's blessing in Ai, and as the Lord gave victory in Ai as well, reputation of the Israelites started going throughout Canaan. Other nations and other cities began hearing about the conquest of the Israelite nation. What are you going to do with reports like that? Well, how many men? I don't know, but it doesn't seem to even matter. Well, how did they conquer? What kind of weapons do they use? Well, you may not believe me, but they just marched around the city and they shouted and the walls fell. How are you going to fight somebody like that? How are you going to be able to plot a military strategy against a people like that? Well, it caused fear to come into the hearts of the nations that remained. Gibeonites were among those that remained, and without reading the whole story, we'll see here in this account in Joshua chapter 9 that the Gibeonites decided, instead of coming up face to face against the Israelites and trying their hand at military success, that they would take a different approach. And they put old shoes, sandals on their feet that were beyond salvage. They took old moldy bread and they took flasks that were worn out, and they came with a story. And they said, whenever we left our homes, this bread was hot and fresh. The shoes that we're wearing now, they were brand new, and the clothes, and they had a story, and it was a convincing one. Read about in Joshua here, the 9th chapter. Let's read beginning in the 12th verse. They had entreated to make a league with us. Well, the reason why they came with the story they did was because the Israelites were told, don't make a league with the inhabitants of this land. They didn't say anything about a far distant land, but this land. So they said, we've come from a different land to make a league with us. And in verse 12, this our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it's dry and it's moldy. These bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Uh-oh. You know, it doesn't matter how many victories you've won. It doesn't matter how resounding the successes of yesterday or yesteryear. We can never afford to fall into this trap. They reasoned within their own mind. They took in the things that they saw with their own eyes. And it seemed to compute and calculate and make sense. And based on that, they didn't even evidently see a need to stop and ask the Lord. Folks, this was a missed prayer meeting that resounded for generations to come. You think, well, how important is it, really? It is of utmost importance that I live my life in dependence upon God. Lord, I need you. Lord, there's a way that seems right unto me here. But I know the end of the way that seems right unto me is death. Lord, show me, am I thinking about this right? Am I seeing this right? Lord, give me discernment. Give me understanding. Help me to know your will. You know how different it might have been had they stopped and said, you know what, give us this evening. We're going to have a collective prayer meeting. Or better yet, maybe give us a couple days and we're going to fast and pray about this. You know, I believe the outcome would have been different. It was more than just Joshua and his generation this affected. But you can read as you fast forward through Israel's history, generations in the future, God was still requiring of them the covenant that they made with these people. We are not to rush headlong through life. We're not to it's a risky proposition to go through life by the seat of our pants, as we say in our language. There's too much at stake. Lord, I need you. One song, I think of the sister down in Holly Hill. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. It's not just when we feel that. When I'm so uncertain and I'm so hesitant and I'm so fearful and all of that. But you know, it's equally, or maybe even more so, whenever I feel like it's all right. I think I know what to do here. I think I know how to handle this. You know, and I'm not prepared with statistics here, but consider whether you think this is reasonable. I believe the most danger to accidents from power equipment is not as much from those who are first starting to use it as it is from those that get careless. From those who have run so many sheets of plywood through that table saw. Over and over. 1,000 times I've done this. You know they have guards on table saws that tend to work their way off by folks that have used them long enough. Yeah, I know how to do it. I've done it myself. I've gotten this finger in my table saw. I've just got a quick job. I know how to run it. I'll run it through the saw real quick and I'll be done. It's not worth setting up the jig and the fence and all that. Well, I had a fence, but in just a moment, this middle finger jammed right into the saw blade and stopped the saw for a moment. Folks, we can't afford to get careless and overconfident in ourselves. Lord, I need to know your will. I need wisdom and understanding. Proverbs, I'd like to look at a familiar passage in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. If you don't have this one memorized, I encourage you, young people, children, and really all of us, commit this one to your memory. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, there's a beautiful promise in this. Whenever we look at it and say, well, if the way that I sea that looks so right isn't right? How am I ever to know the right way to go? How am I ever to go through life and avoid all the pitfalls and snares that are all around me? We'll do it not in our wisdom, not in our strength, but as we lean upon the Lord, as we trust in Him every day of our lives. Lord, I don't want to trust in what I see. I don't want to trust in what I feel. Lord, would you direct my paths? And the Lord's promised to do that if we'll put our trust in Him and we'll seek to know His will. I'd like to think now about a different character in the Bible. 1 Samuel 23rd chapter. I've been reading some of the life of David of late. And there are some things that have really struck me about David that I'd like to look at this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the enemies of the Philistines?' And David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand.'" Now I want us to think about this. This is David. This is the one that had been anointed king over Israel. Even though he was in a waiting period for quite some time until he could be set upon the throne. And that's another thing to consider of David's life. But he here said, "Lord, the Philistines are up against us." We know who the Philistines were. They were the age-old enemies of the Israelites. You know, he could have just so easily said, "You know what? God chose me to be king. The Philistines are our enemies. I fought before. Who was it that took down Goliath anyway? Who was it that defeated the champion of the Philistines?" Yep, that was me. But that wasn't David's heart. That wasn't how David went into this battle. He stopped and said, "Lord, shall I go?" Because it doesn't matter if they're my enemy. It doesn't matter if I've had victories in the past. Lord, if you don't give me a victory this time, I'm going to fail. I'm going to be put to shame and the people of God before the enemy. So Lord, is this your will? And as he sought the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Yes, go up." Well, the people were fearful. They had reason to be fearful. You know, David went the second time to the Lord. "Lord, I want to be sure here. You know, I think it's not a bad thing to go twice to the Lord. In fact, I think it's good wisdom. Lord, I want to make sure in these decisions of life. I don't want to be haphazard. I don't want to just rush into this and say, 'Yeah, I think I know what to do. Yeah, I've done something like this before.'" We can go through life from failure to failure to failure. And the Lord be ever so merciful if we'll turn to Him time and time again. Do you know the Lord would rather keep us out of the failures? Yes. You know the Lord would rather keep us from making the wrong left turn? And it's possible. If I have the heart of David and say, "Lord, I've got something before me here. Lord, what do I do? Lord, do I go up or do I not go up?" Let me ask you, do you think David asked this saying in his heart, "I'm going up, but I guess I better ask of the Lord"? I don't think he did this like Ahab did. "All right, come on, prophets, we need to know. They want to know if this is the right thing. Get all 400 of them together." And every one of those 400 knew exactly what Ahab wanted to hear. And they said, "Oh yes, go up, O king, go up. The Lord give it." One man even made horns, I believe, "and let me demonstrate to you," and all demonstrative about it. "This is God's will." And it just so happened to be Ahab's will. Folks, we cannot must not try to subjugate God's will to our will. I don't believe this was David saying, I'm going anyway, but this is just a check-the-box formality. I believe David truly wanted to know, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go. But Lord, if you don't want me to go, I'm not going up. And I believe when we have that kind of a heart, in whatever situations we face in life, Lord, if you want me to, I'll do it. Lord, if you don't, I won't. That it should be more than just a formality that we go through to ask. Lord, is this what I ought to do? The Lord wants to guide us in our lives. I'd like to fast forward to another account from David's life found in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 30. Now remember this setting here. The men, the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag and they had overthrown it. They had taken the women and children captive and kidnapped them and burned the city with fire. David and his men came upon that and found it, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. Until there was no more tears in them or no strength to bring it out. They were broken. They were empty. And then on top of it all, the people began to talk about, well, David here's king. Let's stone him. You know, we better have it committed like Paul did. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I've learned how to abound and I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to handle the highs of life and I've learned how to weather the lows as well. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then it says, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went. Folks, he had the pressure of mutiny behind him. He had the distress of loss before him. And David was in a quandary. David did what every one of us ought to do. Lord, what should I do? Lord, I want to know your will. Will you give me success if I go forward? Is this your plan for us or is it not? Even with people and the threat of mutiny and assassination behind him, this is where David's priority was. Lord, what's your will? Folks, if we don't have time and to stop to ask the Lord His will, we're too busy and we're moving too fast. We always have time to slow down and say, Lord, is this your will? And so he asked for the ephod and inquired of the Lord. The Lord told him, and David went and he pursued. And the Lord, well, you know the rest of the story, of course. If the Lord says go and we go, the Lord will give success just like He said He would. And that's what He did for David and the men here. You know, we can step out by faith in God's will. If we ask anything according to His will, the Scripture says, He heareth us. You know, some people get hung up sometimes in Scriptures to say things like, whatever you ask in faith, believing, you're going to have it. Oh, Lord, I've been seeing those new houses they're building down the road. I sure want one of those big houses. You know, the more important thing is for me to say, Lord, help me to know your will. Lord, help me to be in your will. And if the Lord says, step out and go. If the Lord says, and I have to guard something I believe is called confirmation bias, that says, I already know what I want the outcome to be. It's kind of what Balaam suffered from. Well, Lord, should I go up? I already know I want to go up. I already know that I'm thinking of the reward they're going to give me already. Well, Lord, shall I go up? Already knowing that's what he wanted to do. Whenever we seek the Lord from true and honest hearts, and the Lord says go, and maybe it's wisdom even for me to come back and say, Lord, I want to seek you again. I want to make sure that I'm in your will. I want to make sure that this isn't just my feelings, my passions, my desires getting in the way and clouding what it is that I'm seeking. Lord, is this your will? And we can step out by faith. Then when we are assured that it's God's will, we can step out and move on faith in that. I remember a time that I felt like there was something that we needed to do. It wasn't just something that we needed to do one day. It was a life change. It was a decision that would affect our family. It would affect others. And I was praying about it, and the need seemed so evident, and my desire and my thoughts were just totally turned that way. And I remember I was praying, I was seeking the Lord. Lord, I want to know that this is your will. I feel like you're leading me in that direction. I feel like you're inclining my heart that way. But Lord, I do want to know. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, would you reveal yourself to me in a dream if it's what you want? And you know, I sought the Lord for months in that way. The desire was there. It seemed like the need was there, and yet nothing. And I was seeking the Lord and thinking about it so much. It was actually more remarkable I didn't dream about it. You know, we can't really prescribe to the Lord, though. Lord, this is how I want you to show me. Now, I say we can't. There are times that we can be as Gideon and say, Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out here and I want to know your will and I want you to guide me into the way that you'd have me to take. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But I believe that there are other ways that the Lord wants us to ascertain his will. The dream never came. The confirmation from the Lord never came. And I was in a quandary. I would tell you, I won't get into all of the internal struggle and turmoil that I went through as part of that. Lord, I was sure. And you know, some doors started closing. And at first I chafed at it. Lord, I was frustrated by it. What is this door that's closing? I need to just press past it. We need wisdom to be able to know the difference between obstacles that we need to just overcome and doors that the Lord is shutting. If the Lord's shutting a door, I don't dare go and try to barge past it and knock the door down. But if it's something like the Apostle Paul had to deal with shipwreck and false brethren and one thing after another, and the Lord had told him, this is my will for you, this is my calling for you. You see, when I have it assured and confirmed that this is God's will, it doesn't matter the obstacles, it doesn't matter the hindrances that come. God said go. God said, stand here, and it's exactly what I'm going to do until God shows me differently. But whenever I'm seeking and I don't know what God's will is, Lord, I need to know what it is. Tread very lightly, very carefully. There may be places that I say, Lord, I think I feel like this is the way you're leading me. And maybe I take one cautious step. Lord, is this the way that you want? The Lord has a way of closing doors. The Lord has a way of working through providence in our lives. When our heart is right, when our heart is sincere to do the will of God, God has a way, and He has reminded me of this over and over at points that I have been in my life. Lord, I need an answer. Lord, I need direction here. And it seems like for a space of time, it's silence. Sometimes I've wrestled and struggled. Lord, am I supposed to just move out anyway? Am I supposed to just step out by faith, not knowing, and go forward? And the Lord has reminded me over and over again, child, I know how to get across to you undeniably what my will is. We have to trust in the Lord. That He knows how to lead us and that He'll lead us aright. Well, I don't believe ready here. One of these accounts, maybe 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, we'll look at here. quickly. 2 Samuel 5 and 18, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, see a pattern here? David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. 22nd verse. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest a sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. You think it was a good thing that David asked again? We see the pattern over and over and over again. And when David came and was put to the test, that David stopped and he inquired of the Lord, Lord, am I going in your will or am I not? One time, the Lord told David, go. And another time, at a similar situation, the Lord said, David, don't go. Stay right here. Folks, we can't trust ourselves to say, well, last time this worked out all right this way. I need to be able to know the will of the Lord. Lord, is this your will at this time and in this way? There are some times the Lord might work one way. There may be other times that the Lord says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Is that inconsistent? The Lord sometimes said, go forward and fight. And other times the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, I can't in my own wisdom just determine which, like it's a play that I'm running in a game or something. I can't just determine them. I said, well, last time I stood still, let's do that again. That seemed to work. It only works because it's what the Lord said to do. It only worked because that's what God's will was. And folks, if it's God's will in our life, it'll work. And if it's not, it won't. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Does God's will ever feel like a mystery to you? Never seem like it's hard to get a hold of and hard to discern and to understand? I remember when I was a young man, it felt like the Lord was calling me to do a work for him. And as I was seeking the Lord, there were many times that I was asking the Lord, show me the path that you want me to take. But what I had in mind was, Lord, show me the road map. I want to be able to see the whole map here. And the Lord wouldn't do that most of the times. But what he did do was show me, here's the next step that I want you to take. And I get to that, but Lord, where is this leading? Lord, I need to know 5 years from now, where do you want me? I need to be able to see that. No. You need to trust in me. And he began to show me, if I showed you what the outcome was on the other side of this, you'd be trying to make it happen yourself. Trust me. The Lord knows how to lead us step by step, faithfully into the direction they have us to go. The Lord wants to make known unto us the mystery of his will. He has purposed. He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. I've got an expected end for your life. I've got a picture in mind. The potter with the clay on the wheel knows. I know what that clay can be. I know what it can become. Here's what I have in my mind as I'm making it. The Lord has in his mind what he wants this lump of clay to be and to look like. He can only do it as I submit myself to his will. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and a desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, You know, that's something that every one of us should desire to attain. I believe it's something that every pastor should desire for his congregation. That it's not a dependence you have on me. I'm not your pathway to the Lord. I've got a responsibility to your souls. But he's saying here what I want for you. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. I want you to know what God wants for you. I want you to be able to learn the voice of God. I want you to be able to get on your knees and ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? Don't come to the preacher asking, where should I live and who should I marry and what. It's all right and it's good to seek for counsel from godly brothers and sisters. But nothing replaces getting a hold of the Lord for myself. Lord, is this your will? The Lord knows how to make that known unto us, to fill us with the knowledge of his will. In the Old Testament, they had Urim and Thummim. I don't understand a whole lot about it. It doesn't seem like a whole lot is spelled out about what that was. But it was some object through which God would work with the priest to be able to ascertain what the will of God was in a situation. There were times that they would use the casting of lots, and at least one time in the New Testament where we see it used, where they would trust God to work through his providence and what other people might think of as chance, but through the providence of God to work. There were times that God would speak through dreams and visions and through angels. And Hebrews 1 and 1 says this. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, about whom also he made the worlds. All the different ways that God spoke in times past. He spoke through a burning bush. His voice thundered over Sinai, etc., etc. And yet God has brought us into something that is better. Might think it would be so nice sometimes, Lord, if I could just go to the bush in the backyard and there it's burning when I needed to, and I hear your voice saying, this is what I want you to do. But that's not the way the Lord tends to work now. He has in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. And as Jesus said, it's necessary for you that I go away, and I'll send a comforter. And he will guide you into all truth and lead you in the way that you ought to go. The Lord wants to be able to speak to every one of us as the voice of the gentle shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. You know, some of these things, especially I can remember myself as a child and a young person, how can I know so many big decisions? How do I know, is this the right job? Is this the right thing to do? The right place to go? The right person to marry? And on, how do I know his will? Lord, I don't question God's wisdom and how he works. Except, Lord, it seemed like if somehow the big decisions of life could have been made on the back end of life. When we've had years of experience behind us. Lord, if I could have raised my children somehow after I had, I don't know, already had experience raising children. But I don't have that. What I have is a feeling of being utterly helpless and dependent upon the Lord. Lord, I need you. And I'll tell you, as a parent, there have been times that I have come face to face with my shortcomings and inadequacies as a father. And I've said, God, have mercy on my children. Lord, stand in the gaps where I have not known how to stand and where I have not done it well. Lord, please stand in the gap and fill in that place that I don't know how. Folks, the Lord is faithful to our souls. He's faithful to help us along the way. He knows our limitations. You know, there's a place, though, that the Lord wants us, just as he set it up. Never had children before. Never had to make big life-changing decisions before, but here I am to do like our fathers and their fathers before them. that I come and I fall before God and I say, Lord, show me your will. Matthew 7:7 says, believe a recipe of how we ought to go about it. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. I want us to be on our guard against spiritual laziness when it comes to this. And understand what I mean by that. We believe in the providence of God. I believe that God works through the affairs of our lives to close doors and open doors. You know, the Lord wants me to seek to know His will. I should not go and should not excuse as just, well, I'm just consecrated to God's will, laziness in life and just going through by the seat of my pants. Well, I'll just take it as it comes, whatever happens. I'll just assume that it's God's will. You know what defeated Joshua and the Israelites there? It wasn't bow. It wasn't sword. It wasn't spear. It was assumption. It was their own assumption by their own wisdom and their own understanding. Let's not just go through life assuming that I'm doing God's will. I just assume that I'm doing the right thing, Lord. And I'm not talking about being in a place where I'm always in bondage. Lord, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right? The Lord wants to assure us of His will. And part of that comes as I learn the voice of the shepherd. Folks, don't wait for the big, monumental, life-changing decisions. Don't wait for that to inquire the voice of the Lord. Don't wait until you're desperate and my family's on the line and everything's on the line now. Learn the voice of the shepherd in the day-to-day communion with Him. Lord, you know, there are some things. I don't think the Lord necessarily cares if you're buying a car, if you get a white car or a blue car or a gray car. I believe there are things the Lord puts in a purview of our choices. But when I'm making decisions through life, Lord, here's something that I have plans I'd like to go do. Lord, is this your will? And asking in a way that I'm willing. And I believe it's a lesson that I've learned, or am learning. Whenever you want to know the Lord's will, seek Him until you're willing for whatever the answer is. If you want to do something and you're asking the Lord about it, pray first until you're willing for the answer to be no. Not to come to the Lord, Lord, here's what I want. You're okay with this, aren't you? That's what I thought. But that I pray to the point, Lord, whatever you want. Lord, I really desire this. But if you say no, Lord, I will step back. And I'll be willing to accept no as an answer in my life. So Lord, help us to learn the voice of the shepherd, to be patient in waiting on the Lord, to not move ahead of the will of the Lord. But Lord, help us each one to be wise concerning what God's will is for each one of us. Pray for me. Amen.